You're listening to Law and Gospel on this Friday, March the 1st in the year of our Lord 2024. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and as you know, if you've been listening to other parts of KFUO, the Lutheran Witness this month, which is the official publication of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is talking about the 50th anniversary of the walkout from Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, that resulted in Seminex leading to the ELCA being formed, a very, very liberal denomination. The book that I wrote in 1973 occurred before the 1973 convention in New Orleans, and that's why we call it a watershed. It would decide for or against the 125-year conservative doctrinal stance of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Rivergate was the place where much of the activity of the LCMS Synodical Convention took place in New Orleans during the month of July 1973. We chose a gold cover for the book, which marked the 125th anniversary celebration of the LCMS. The appendix on the last page indicates two different documents. The one is the liberal document called Declaration of Determination. They received 1,400 signatures, which I find kind of interesting since there were over 2,000 congregations. But the other document, entitled Confessional and Scriptural Principles, which supported the conservative stance of the LCMS, it received 250,000 signatures. And so it clearly was the way in which Synod was going. The publication is not copyrighted. In other words, if you get Watershed at the Rivergate and copies are still available, all persons are authorized and encouraged to reduce it in video, in whole, or in part. No copyright. And that's because it's really important to get this information out. In fact, a lot of information is coming out this year, being the 50th anniversary. Concordia Historical Institute put out their latest magazine, and I have in it an article on Watershed at the Rivergate. So, if you want an additional copy, you can write me at tombaker@brick.net. tombaker@brick.net. I wrote this at my first congregation, which was in Sturgis, Michigan. It was completed prior to the convention, and a copy was sent to every delegate at the convention. I also want you to know that after the walkout, there were five professors out of the 40 plus there that did not walk out, but continued to teach God's word at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. I dedicated the book, Watershed at the Rivergate, to those five individuals. They were Professors Ralph A. Bowman, Richard H. Klann, Robert D. Preuss, Martin H. Charlemagne, and Lawrence Wunderlich. Now, of the 120 pages, there are many parts to it. The first part describes the historical critical method that interpreted the Bible in a very, very liberal way. For example, yes, it's clear that the Bible teaches the world was created in six 24-hour days. But the vast majority of professors at the seminary believed in evolution. They did not believe the Bible. A second part was on the what I call liberal political organization. This was an organization that was brought together by a number of liberals in the Chicago area, and they began ELAM, Evangelical Lutheran Church in Mission, which afterwards became part of the American Lutheran Church and the Lutheran Church of America, more liberal organizations, to what we today have as the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. Now you can go through this section on the neoliberal political organization, and you will read about the district presidents, the board for missions, the River Forest Teachers College, the English district, and many individuals that were trying to move our doctrine away from the Bible to man's free will. They were, of course, President John Teachin, who became president of Concordia Seminary. And then, of course, the book is quite a bit about President Jack Preuss, J.A.O. Preuss, who became president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, through whom this convention was directed, and the faculty majority was considered to be teaching false doctrine, not to be tolerated in the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, this doctrinal confrontation took place for many years before this convention. It is really also found in 1945. In a position of those who were opposed to biblical doctrine. Now, in the 120 pages, there is plenty of information talking about specific individuals and specific situations. But in my opinion, one of the most important parts of this book is what is referred to on page 16. It's entitled, Results of the Use of the historical critical method. And the first part is what I refer to as allowability. Now, where did that term come from? While I was at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, my wife Louise was a registered nurse at St. Mary's Hospital, across the street almost from the seminary. And so I would have her do nighttime between like 3 and 11 while I would be at the seminary studying for the next day, reading documents, and particularly working with other students. The most important friend I had was Dr. James Veltz. And together we would talk a lot about what was happening at Concordia Seminary. In fact, we were primarily responsible for sending a letter to the president of the synod, Dr. J.A.L. Preuss, and we chronologically indicated the teachings that we were being taught that we believed to be contrary to God's word. This and other documents received by President Preuss resulted in him having a committee under Paul Zimmerman, who investigated the teachings of the seminary. In fact, prior to the death of Paul Zimmerman, he authored a book about those teachings, and they are put in an order where there were various items taught by the seminary professors, and they were called to give an account of what they were taught. This is all transcribed. You can get them all in what's called the Blue Book and actually hear what the seminary professors believed, which, of course, much of it was contrary to God's word. So, I remember one night, James Veltz and I'm Tom Baker, we were in his room waiting for my wife to get off of work, and we began talking about what we were hearing in the classrooms. And the question we were trying to deal with is, which of the professors would we remove if we had a choice? And to our surprise, the answer was we weren't really sure. Now, how could we not be sure if what we were being taught in the classroom was false teaching? Well, it was part of the historical critical method. A professor himself may hold to the 6-day, 24-hour creation, but that same professor would allow other professors to deny what the Bible said. And that's what we refer to as the allowability understanding of Scripture. For example, in a 1972 lecture to the Board of Control in St. Louis, Professor Edgar Krentz maintained that every conclusion in the Bible which dealt with the history of Scripture, is both tentative and theoretical. It's tentative because more evidence may appear later to change one's mind. And it is theoretical because we cannot be sure that we are right. So the creation story in the Bible was an example. Until the doctrine of evolution by Darwin came about, well, there wasn't much evidence that it was untrue. But with the evidence of evolution, then many people and so-called scientists began to believe that the earth didn't come about in 6 24-hour days, but took millions of years to come about by a Big Bang theory or whatever is going around today. So it was tentative. You couldn't insist. I remember being in a class, we were talking about the Red Sea crossing by the Israelites. And we were told that the Israelites really went across in small boats, and that's how they got across the Red Sea. There was no dry land. They used boats. But then when the Egyptians went to chase after them, they had heavy chariots and horses, and it sank in the mud, and they couldn't catch up with the Israelites. So that is how we were taught that though the Bible says one thing, it was both tentative and it was theoretical, because we could not be sure that we were right in what it was saying. In fact, Professor Herbert Mayer, who was the editor of the Concordia Theological Monthly, was a very liberal person. And he asked, quote, for a willingness to recognize greater variety in theological statements and positions. At the same time, President John Tichen was quoted by the Lutheran Witness Reporter as asking for, quote, a diversity of viewpoints, even conflicts of viewpoints. And so I had professors there that did not really believe in the devil's existence. There were those who reinterpreted Isaiah 7:14 that Mary was not a virgin when she bore Jesus Christ. And then we had professors who took a position in support of homosexuality. In fact, after the walkout, one of my professors was arrested in a South St. Louis park for homosexual activity. Now, we need to remember that this Concordia Historical Institute, historical critical method, was not only existing at the seminary in St. Louis. Other schools, especially Valparaiso University, River Forest, and Concordia Seminary at that time were experiencing these same kinds of liberal doctrinal takeovers. Now, River Forest has improved in Concordia Seward, but Valparaiso is still a very liberal university. They question not only about the historicity of Adam and Eve or the virgin birth, but also the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's right. I had a professor who had a son who was having a Jewish girlfriend. And he was teaching this professor that it was not necessary for her to believe that Jesus rose from the dead physically. He taught that Jesus rose from the dead spiritually, but he still died and his bones are buried in Palestine. So these teachings were going on throughout the synod. What saved the synod was not only certain very strong conservative professors to whom this book has been dedicated to, but also a very strong group of laity that began publications against what the faculty was saying. And therefore, these things became a real conflict of interest and history of the Bible during the years prior to 1973. In regard to the political group in River Forest and Chicago, I was given the task of visiting the homes of both conservative pastors, professors, and laymen to go through their files. And that's the result of Watershed at the Rivergate. But I found things that were really interesting. For example, Professor President Teachin was asked if he ever had been in contact with the liberals in River Forest in working towards the breakup of Concordia Seminary. He denied that he ever was in conversation with them. Well, in one of the files that I was going through, I found a phone bill from President Teachin's home to the head of the liberal movement in River Forest. He had made a number of calls as they were preparing to make sure that the church would be destroyed with conservative theology being replaced by liberal theology. The 120-page book also talks about the strategies that they used. And one of the strategies was using the free press to tell lies about the seminary professors who were very, very conservative and the ultra-right people who believe what the Bible had to say. It is not possible to read these 120 pages in one night because they are done on 8.5 by 11 sheets, and there are two columns on each page. If this were put into a regular type of book, it would probably come to over 400 pages. But it is filled with information. If you have any doubts as to what was going on at the time. And remember, all of it was written before the wonderful convention that occurred in New Orleans in 1973, where a majority of the delegates agreed that the teachings of Concordia Seminary were not to be tolerated in the Church of God. This, of course, led to President Teachin leaving the seminary, and then the vast majority of professors, except for five of them, leaving the seminary with a majority of the students. I have to say, those students were really like Adam and Eve, listening to the devil in the Garden of Eden and believing what the devil had to say rather than what God had to say. Watershed at the Rivergate, a document you can have in your household. Email me at tombaker@brick.net. And we'll give you information as to how to purchase a copy. Continuing with Law and Gospel Distinctions this Monday, God bless you.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.